out of the list of this four, this is definitely our favorite.
We're not the same.
Welcome to One More Thing with Jay and Robert. I'm Jay.
And I'm Robert.
One More Thing is a podcast celebrating LGBTQ plus pop culture, recorded live in my living room.
So before we get started this week, we just have a few clerical things to talk about.
First of all, I just need to address some feedback that I got about last week's episode. Specifically, an email titled In Defense of Paige from Pretty Little Liars.
Okay.
Which was an email sent to our podcast account, onemorethingpodcast@gmail.com. One small thing, not one more thing, one small thing.
Well.
Paige never actually killed anyone, and she tried to drown Emily, not push her down the stairs, standing up for the integrity of the lesbians on PLL. Also, something I feel like is worth mentioning is the show often does group shots of all the people the liars are dating, and Paige is always included. In these shots specifically, they try to make her look as butch as possible. It's almost like they're trying to make her blend in with the men, which feels weird to me. I also got some feedback from Rachel Burns. She said, I would not call Paige butch. I get that she's supposed to be butch, but I see how she could be like ABC Family butch. So, I guess she's butch.
Can we pull up a picture of Paige? It's Mose from Ned's Declassified,
It's Mose
right?
from Ned's Declassified. I think she also like...
Okay.
I guess it's because she like...
She looks just like a...
I guess it's because she wears like leather jackets.
Okay.
And, oh!
She's in a suit with a top hat.
Yeah.
There she is.
I get it.
So we are now in a cramped, hot-ass room to bring you our biggest episode yet. This is also the first episode that has been fully produced by Ana Verde, new member of the family. Hi, Ana.
Hi!
Ana produced this episode from beginning to end, and I feel comfortable saying it's our best episode ever.
I've been looking forward to this for a while. I'm really excited to do it.
Basically, what we're doing today is we're having a round table of bisexual people, some of whom are our friends, some of whom we met for the first time today. Neither of us is bisexual, and so we wanted to get input from people who are bisexual and talk to them about what that means,
we've talked about this a couple times through the season so far, that like every time we talk about something trans related, we're like, well, we really don't want to talk about that because neither of us feel really comfortable with it. And that's how we felt about bisexuality as well.
So we wanted to get the input of people who really have an opinion because it's
because that's
their
what
life.
People should do.
So we're going to go around and tell us your name, and if you were stranded on a desert island, what movie, book, and celebrity would you bring?
Hi, so I'm Shelly Farmer. My celebrity would be Jenny Slate, so she could be both my entertainment and my wife. My movie would be Jean Renoir's The Rules of the Game, because it has a bit of everything. Humor, sex, tragedy.
Already very smart.
But if you stop it before the end, it just feels like a comedy. And what was the last one? Book?
Book, yeah.
Book. I think War and Peace, because I've tried to read it about 5 times, and I always make it halfway through, and life gets in the way, but I would have nothing but time on a desert island, so...
Okay, my name's Juan. I guess, okay, celebrity, Jaden Smith. Just because after I got down, I just got obsessed.
Who is that?
Jaden Smith.
Oh, I just said Jaden Smith. I was about to call. Oh my god.
Who is Jaden Smith? The greatest icon of our time.
You almost died. I'm so sorry. Okay. Anyways, the book would have to be The Divine Comedy. I don't know why, I just like rereading that because it's so dramatic. And like, if you're familiar with the history, the entire Divine Comedy is just shade. Dante's just dragging everyone in Italy. It's like hilarious.
Oh,
I love it. And then movie Cruel Intentions.
Wow.
I'm JB. Okay, I feel like my answer's a little bit all over the board, but here we go. Movie, I'm gonna go with, wait for it, Mr. McGorm's Wonder Emporium.
I've never seen that whole thing.
I mean, Jason Bateman, Dustin Hoffman, Natalie Portman, I don't know how you get better than that. And it also has, like, puppets and, like, really bad animations and a magical score by Michael Giacchino, and I just don't think you can get better than that. Book, I'm gonna go with... The last one that I read all the way through was Sexing the Cherry by Jeanette Winterson, who's, like, this... It's, like, a masterpiece of a book with, like, multiple different storylines that goes through different time periods and types of people, and it, like, really incited something in my imagination that I hadn't tapped into before. And then celebrity, I don't know what this is, come out of left field, I'm feeling Barack Obama. I don't know why, I feel like he'd be fun to go to an island with.
I'm Emily. I can't just say the Harry Potter series, right? I gotta pick one.
Yeah, you have to.
I'm gonna bring Deathly Hallows. That way, like, I always finish it. You know what I mean? Like, it's always. And then my favorite movie that I bring with me is The Devil Wears Prada.
Oh. Fantastic.
It has everything. It's the best film. And then, celebrity. Like, I'm going to say Tony Kushner, and we just, like, talk about Angels in America.
Whoa. I love classifying Tony Kushner as a celebrity.
Yeah. He's the only person I've never met who I really want to.
I never really felt any shame about my sexuality, about the idea that I found boys attractive as well as girls. It wasn't until I kind of came to America and started doing lots of big, you know, when you're a new person, you kind of are like fresh meat for the media and you get all these in-depth probes. And it became a big deal about my sexuality. And I'd never really talked about it in that way in public before. Anyway, so eventually I came to America and I did this. Came out on the cover of Out magazine. So it was pretty splashy. But that also, that was why I did this was, because there was so much sort of speculation about my sexuality in the media here, which I find hilarious and also very American, you know, kind of prurient and weird. So I decided I would talk about it finally, but in a forum that I thought it could be discussed properly and non-sensationally, and also deal with the whole kind of sexuality is a grey area, not necessarily so black and white, and you know what I mean? And my particular path being not quite so, I mean, I didn't just always think I was gay and that was it.
Megan Mullally, who is the star of Will and Grace.
The star.
She is both Will and Grace. And she said on a red carpet one day, I consider myself bisexual and my philosophy is everyone innately is.
Well, I mean, I feel like I would agree with that because I am, though, but if I wasn't, I don't know if I'd agree with it. Does that make sense?
Right. I, like, sort of fundamentally, like, think that everybody's somewhere on spectrum, mm-hmm. but, like, I also feel like it's maybe solipsistic to be like, yeah. Well, because I feel that way.
Right.
Certainly. You're just not recognizing.
Yeah.
Right. And I know I certainly know people that, like, identify as, like, hardcore straight that, like, would totally disagree with that, but I don't.
And maybe it's problematic of me to think this way, but when people are, like, hardcore gay, I don't question it. But if someone thinks that they're very straight, I'm like, oh, that's social conditioning. Like, maybe if you...
I feel the same way.
In, like, a heteronormative world that you might feel more open to, like, mm-hmm. recognizing, like, you think this girl's your gal pal, but, like, really? Like, maybe you've got some romantic feelings. Yeah. But maybe it's not fair for me to, like, apply those assumptions to somebody else's...
But I don't think it's, like, a cultural thing where it's, like, what we consider to be, like, not straight isn't necessarily considered not straight in, like, the rest of the world, particularly the global south.
Sure.
So then it's also, like, I don't know, it's complicated. It's, like, the only real way to prove this, so to speak, would be literally to just have, like, a bunch of people, like, from birth, just, like, in incubators. So it's really just, like, impossible, per se, to answer the question, but I do think that there's I don't think the statement's false, but I also don't think it's true.
Well, like, how would you respond to that? Would you consider yourself somewhere on the spectrum?
Great transition to our next question, which is, so we have talked a lot on this podcast about the Kinsey scale, where Robert and I both feel like we fall on, like, a hard 6 on the Kinsey scale.
Yeah.
Which, for those who don't know, 6 on the Kinsey scale is exclusively homosexual, which is how Robert and I both feel. But I was actually talking to someone about it last night who said that she feels uncomfortable with it because she feels that it doesn't take into account that it's very sort of on a gender binary and that it doesn't take into account people who are neither male nor female and being attracted to people who are neither male nor female.
That's something that's, like, bugged me about that scale a lot too, that it is, like, so linear and, like, quantitative when, like, there's so much about sexuality that we don't know and so much that is, like, fluid about it and so much that people, like, identify differently over the course of their lives, and it feels so, like, when I first heard about that, I was like, the audacity of some man to, like, give everybody a number about, like, who they're attracted to.
Yeah.
It's such a kind of a dick move. But there's, like, a lot of other, like, graphs that have, like, I think in 82, there was another one that came out that, like, gave it, like, an X and a Y axis that, like, starts looking at, like, asexuality through, like, and demisexuality and, like, hypersexuality, and then, like, some people add the Z with, like, the non-binary, and I feel like there are more exciting, interesting, and helpful ways to explore sexuality outside of giving it numbers.
I agree, but I also think that if we're talking about this in the context of bisexuality, like, I do think that there is something, and maybe it's not, like, the Kinsey scale specifically, but, like, conceiving of sexuality as some sort of gradient and recognizing it's not a fixed thing. Because I often feel uncomfortable with, like, the word bisexual because of this sort of implied, like, 50-50 thing, or it feels, like, too static, and it feels like I don't think it recognizes or encompasses like the sort of fluidity that I feel in my, like, love and sexuality.
So if you want to be, like, hashtag historical about it, I mean, obviously, like 100 plus years ago, bisexual meant what we today call intersex. But then it eventually developed in, I think, the 80s, 70s. Because, like, there was heterosexuality, homosexuality, and then the bi and bisexual referred to being somewhere both and or hetero and homo. So that it's, like, those two prefixes became bisexual. Like, that's what the two in reference to that, like, means. So then it's, like, I don't know, it's really complicated because then, like, this gets into whole, like, regarding gradients, regarding, like, who is what, who wants what. Like, for example, like, we were talking, like, just a bunch of, like, queer folk at the center one day, and a lot of the gay men said that they just don't want to date trans men who are pre-op because they just don't want to engage in that. They just don't want to. Like, they want dick, specifically, exclusively. They want a penis, full stop. So then it's interesting to think about how, like, there's a relationship between what is coding, like, what is gender, gender identity, sexual organs, what do you want, specifically? Because, like, so, like, some days, like, I want to eat a pussy. Some days I want dick. Like, these are just things I want.
I think it's also interesting bringing up gay men specifically, because I wonder if maybe this label of, like, bisexuality or, like, defining our sexuality is maybe a bit more slippery with women culturally, just because in our specific culture, I mean, I like that you bring up that there are so many, like, vast cultural differences that we have to take into account at these levels. But if we're looking at, like, contemporary American culture, there's sort of that slipperiness of, like, female friendship and romance. And it's, like, so much more widely socially acceptable for a woman to identify as queer or to find these, like, romantic shades in their friendships. Like, I wonder if maybe there's more of an expectation of, like, a hard and fast label on your sexuality as a man than there is for
women. Because I feel like if a man is like, I'm bisexual, everyone's like, oh, he's just gay, he's
right,
gay.
Like, he's not ready to come
whereas
out.
If when I say it, they're like, oh, Emily, of course you are.
And they're like, all women are.
Yeah,
oh,
so
friendship,
like,
vaginas.
Yes,
but also, like, a real thing, because it's like, I removed bisexual on my Tinder, and then suddenly I was matching with, like,
way more
shit than more women. Like, that's
so
just the reality.
Yeah.
But then we get into that whole discourse about, like, oh, bisexuals are just deceptive.
Right.
Which is
well, that's
lying
actually,
to everyone,
that's
so.
A great segue to our next question.
Ding, 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 ding.
So, when you date people who are not bisexual, who are either, who, like, identify as you said, hardcore straight or hardcore gay, which I love, what are some things that you sort of feel like are, like, stumbling blocks at the beginning of relationships as opposed to when you, JB's got an answer. Go for it, JB.
Like, for me, I feel like very, like I go through phases and waves of, like, what gender I'm attracted to for the most part. Like, it's, like, 1 month.
Me too. So I always have trouble, like, being like, I'm bisexual. Because 1 month, I'm like, I'm straight this month.
Right.
And then you're like,
no,
so gay this month. Yeah.
Right. It's like back and forth. Like, it's like pretty, like, there are times that, like, happen, like, it's, like, both at the same time. But it's, like, more or less exclusionary for me. I'm, like, in and out.
Yeah.
Which, like, could present as, like, somewhat frustrating in a monogamous relationship. Because there are times that, like, I was, in a relationship that I had last year, I was just simply not attracted to the partner that I was dating. Which I think is fine. I don't think is, like, unique to bisexual people. I think you can, like, not be attracted to the person you're dating for a split second. But it did, like, open up a lot of, like, surprisingly uncomfortable conversations because there was, like, assumptions that, like, either, like, I wasn't being fulfilled or, like, I was worried that I was gonna, like, need to open it up or there was gonna be cheating involved or, like, that there's, like, this expectation that, like, we want more sex and we have to have sex from both genders in order to, like, be bisexual, which I don't think is the case at all. I think, for me, monogamy, like, necessitates the same level of, like, the same standards of exclusivity that, like, like, regardless of, like, what gender comes up. But, like, that was, like, that ended up being an ongoing conversation and has been ongoing conversations in almost every relationship that I'm with.
I feel like that's why I don't like using the term bisexual, because I think people, like, assume that, like, it's just a sexual thing.
Right.
And I'm like, no, but if I'm dating you, like,
right.
I have feelings for
you.
So I don't, like, it's like, yeah, it's like the same thing as, like, straight people. Like, I'm not going to go cheat with someone else. If it, like, it doesn't matter what gender.
Right.
Like, it's you right now.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah, that's, like, the most frustrating thing I encounter is a paranoia.
Yeah.
Where, like, literally, like, they just think I'm hooking up with absolutely everyone in
the
social circle. So then if I'm in a relationship with, like, a woman, like, regardless of whether they're straight or not, they just assume that I'm just with all the guys somehow, and then likewise vice versa, and even people who are just like our friends then tend to assume I'm hooking up with everyone I'm close to.
I also feel a sort of like self-imposed feeling of a lack of validity in both my relationships and in my art. Like,
yeah.
I'm working on a film right now that's a, like, a queer musical called And the Moon. Look it up.
<That's quite
right>. But like, like, particularly because I present as femme, I don't have, sort of the visible queerness necessarily. I sometimes feel like maybe I don't have a legitimate claim to telling queer stories, and sometimes when I'm dating women who are gay, I don't feel like I have, a legitimate claim to be with them, or that I'm somehow, that my sexuality doesn't count, or that they'll think that maybe I'm just, going through a phase, whatever.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I'm, at pride events and things, I feel like I'm not gay enough to be here, because I don't look gay.
There are spaces in which I feel like I'm not gay enough, and there's spaces that I feel like I'm not straight enough.
Sure, yeah.
That, which, also, that plays in, my personal self-imposed, paranoia and anxiety about my sexuality is that when I've dated women, it's makes me very nervous that people don't know that I'm queer, because it's such a big part of my identity and what I've been going through for so many years. And then when I date men, it feels like I sometimes I'm not addressing or not looking at a part of myself that I want to explore further, or people don't know is there.
And I also feel guilt about passing privilege sometimes, especially when it comes to telling queer stories in art. I don't want to ever feel I'm capitalizing on queer stories when I do have this privilege that I get to experience in everyday life, because sometimes I'm dating men, because people wouldn't automatically assume that I'm queer. I sometimes feel a level of discomfort or guilt about that.
Yeah, I also never know how to bring up the fact that I'm bisexual, because I pass as straight, so I never know how to be but I'm not.
Or similarly, I get people just assume that I'm gay a lot, which, in some spaces, it's easier to just be okay, fine, whatever, and just move on. I'm not happy and proud that I do that, but, it just becomes, opens up, so many, slews of conversations, and you're oh, actually, sorry, I'm bisexual. They're
yeah.
I don't know, to me, it's a degree of code-switching, also, just because it's, if I'm with a girl, then, yes, I'm, coding as straight to people who are, watching us, so then going to Pride, if I'm dating a girl and it's Pride Month, I want to go to Pride marches with the girl, that always is such an ordeal. And even if it's just, me and a friend who happens to be a woman, that's literally, I always get the dirty looks, and then, someone always gives, the shitty comments, and then, everyone's always saying I'm you, and I'm like, fuck off. But then conversely, obviously, the guy stereotype is, you're bisexual, JK, you're actually gay, and you just don't want to come out of the closet, so then it's, when I'm with a guy, then it's oh, just one's suddenly gay now, just magically.
Surprise.
So then it's it's a bit the opposite of what y'all were talking about how some months y'all want something different, and that whole struggle. For me, my internal wanting of things is pretty much consistent. I'm very much either or both, whatever. But then people's perception of me changes constantly.
Yeah.
So then it's depending on how I'm dressing, depending on how I'm acting, depending on which friends I'm hanging out with more, then suddenly everyone just assumes I'm this, that, and the third.
But speaking of going to Pride when you're in a heterosexual pairing, I do feel awkward about that, not just because of people's reactions, but also because I don't want to feel like I'm infringing on a queer space. I don't know. I simultaneously want to recognize bi identities, but I also don't want to feel like I'm taking a safe space and making people feel uncomfortable. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that I may be then perpetuating the problem of, bi erasure, but,
I get that. I get that
so
much.
Yeah, it just feels like...
I mean, maybe if he was bi, too, then I'd be
yeah.
Woo! Do this!
Right.
But if he's, a straight man, I'm gonna be
yeah.
No, the only time... one year I went in New York City with my ex-girlfriend to Pride, and, that was cute. But then otherwise, I don't... I think... I mean, in general, I've dated more queer women. I just don't... I can count on one hand the number of straight women I've actually dated. So it's always, interesting to think about that as well, about how, and I don't know if this holds true for women, but, I have an easier time dating bisexual women, just because it's, less complicated, less drama, less paranoia, less anxiety, less...
Yeah.
So for the women in the room, do you feel like when you've dated straight men, it's been harder to sort of, validate your identity than when you've dated bisexual men or, queer women?
Yeah, I think maybe... It just feels so intensely heterosexual to be
yeah.
dating
yeah.
a straight man. But I also, something that has always been interesting for me is that even outside of, people that I've seen longer term, even just on, dates with straight men, there's always, a lot of, not always, but often a lot of curiosity about the idea of
oh, really?
Bisexuality. And I feel like
that's crazy.
Often, by the end of the night, they'll be like, well, I had this one friend in high school, and, But it's not, it's
I was the one friend in high school.
Maybe it'll start out as this sort of, prurient interest in, ooh, so you're bi, but, often it'll come around to them maybe, re-examining some relationships that they've had, or like feelings that they've had, and being like, maybe it's...
You're just shepherding people.
Yeah.
Out.
I don't know, that's a super interesting question to me, because like what we were saying earlier is like some months I feel like very straight. So then like, I mean, I've also never really like dated a man. There's been like little things, but I've never like dated a man, whereas I've like dated a woman. So yeah, I don't know, I just feel like very straight, and then I feel like that identity like leaves, like it's, I don't want it to, but I feel like it leaves me. And, like, I'm not gay-ish anymore in those moments, and I don't like that. Yeah, I think it's hard to hold on to when it's, like, a heterosexual, like he's, like, purely hardcore, like, straight.
Hardcore
and
straight.
I'm not.
But I think also part of that is just that, like, the world is structured to, like, validate those kind of relationships. So I think it's easier when you're in a relationship with, like, a straight guy, and, like, it's easy to, like, shut out queerness, and so it becomes less, like, prominent in your identity, just because everything around you is like validating that this is like the correct way to be.
Yeah, and I know my parents would like that more, so that's also helps.
It would be easier. My grandma would be happy.
Oh, you're gay, Blaine.
I thought I was, but I've never even had a boyfriend before. Isn't this the time you're supposed to figure stuff out?
I believe that I'm hearing this
Maybe
right
I'm
now.
Bi. I don't know.
Bisexual is a term that gay guys in high school use when they want to hold hands with girls and feel like a normal person for a change.
Oh, wait. Why are you so angry?
Because I look up to you. I admire how proud you are of who you are. I know what it's like to be in the closet, and here you are about to tiptoe back in.
I'm really sorry if this hurts your feelings or your pride or whatever, but however confusing it might be for you, it's actually a lot more confusing for me. You're 100% sure who you are. Fantastic. Well, maybe we all can't be so lucky. I'm searching, okay? I'm honestly just trying to figure out who I am. And for you, of all people, to get down on me for that, I didn't think that's who you were. I'll see ya. I'd say bye, but I wouldn't want to make you angry.
So what was the first time that you saw yourself represented in media?
In terms of bisexuality.
Yeah.
Magnus Bane.
Who?
No. Does no one read the Shadow Hunter
Yikes.
Chronicles?
No.
Y'all hate young
that?
Adult romantic.
Wait, does that have a
what
TV show on
yeah,
Freeform?
Show.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Parachute Junior plays him!
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
I come from a mixed family. I practice Rohingya, and I was always like very extravagant and wear a lot of jewelry. So, whenever the Magnus Bane character was introduced in the Shadow Hunter series, like all the books, he's this brown guy. He's like Malaysian and half demon. He wears a lot of jewelry. He's always like fancy schmancily dressed. And he's also bisexual. So then that was like the first instance of someone was like, wow, that's literally... And then like when all my friends were reading it, it's like, wow, this is literally Juan. Like this is Juan. And even like, he's like sarcastic and like sassy and like bitter as hell. So it's like, this is Juan. Like this is who
our
he is.
Our half demon friend.
Yeah, literally. Who practices witchcraft and terrifies us. So like that was the first instance of someone who's like bisexual, brown, and like just was like equally as like fun and dramatic with his bisexuality as I am. So
when did you start reading those books?
Ooh, when I was like, I think they started coming out when I was like 15, so I want to say like late 2000s they started coming out.
I mean, I think for me, I mean
his seems pretty exact.
Yeah, this
is
like very
on
the nose. Mine is gonna be a little less so, and in a very formative time, which I don't think that mine happened as early, because I feel like as a teenager I recognized my feelings towards men and women, but I feel like I saw more examples of, you know, either, you know, gay women or straight women. It wasn't until, I guess, about 2 years ago, I very belatedly read Mrs. Dalloway for the first time. But it felt like the most, like, accurate representation of the feelings that I had and the sort of relationships that I had, because Clarissa Dalloway in the book, I mean, she loves her husband, and she loves her old friend Peter, and she also loves her old friend Sally, and, like, there's this sort of element of, like, intense friendship, but also romance and eroticism, and they're all sort of intertwined in a very inextricable way, and it's not commented upon that, like, ooh, she's bisexual. It's, like, she just has these profound relationships with these various people, and gender sort of is a non-issue in them. But simultaneously, she also, like, appreciates these sort of gendered qualities in them. Like, she appreciates Sally as a woman. She loves her as a woman, but it's not, like, an issue in the book that she likes both men and women.
Yeah, she like talks about her feminine qualities.
Yeah, exactly.
Almost exclusively.
Yeah.
And like how beautiful she is and how like pretty she
yes.
is.
Yes. And she loves like Richard, her husband, talks about how he's like sturdy
yeah, he's, like,
and
a
solid
yeah.
and like yeah, and dependable and like yeah, so I mean that was something that was very interesting to me, that it's not like erasing gender, but it's like also celebrating gender, but it's also not making an issue of it. I don't know. It's,
yeah.
Yeah, that felt very true to me.
How about you two? You can say no.
I don't, yeah, yeah, I don't know.
Something in the back of my brain is like, oh, remember that one time that that happened and you felt excited about seeing a bisexual man in something? But I don't remember. It's like not, because it wasn't formative enough to hit me. I can't, like, off the top of my head right now be
yeah.
like, here's some representations of male bisexuality that I identified with.
Yeah.
I don't know when that's ever happened. Well, gotcha. I'm sure it's out there somewhere. It's out there, but like, yeah.
Oh, and I checked when the book came out in 2007. So
oh.
I was in the 7th grade. 8th
oh.
grade, yeah.
Wow.
Really?
That's a long
time
ago, right?
So we have a list of 4 bisexual people.
Characters,
in media.
To be clear.
Yeah, characters. First of all, did everyone watch Glee? Is that
yeah.
A, yeah. Way back in the day.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I watched the first
good.
Few seasons, I just couldn't. It
no, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But we all know that Brittany is bi, right?
Yes.
Yes.
We all got it that far.
What is it? It's like if the plumbing is different or something, it's not cheating. Is that what's in
yeah.
here?
Oh, yeah.
But then we were like kind of just lesbians for a while, and
right.
then
right.
we started dating
Arnie.
Arnie. Like, oh, wait, maybe she's bi.
And then it took a couple of seasons for them. For her to be like, and I'm bisexual.
Naya Rivera, who played Santana, talks about in her book, Sorry Not Sorry, her character was supposed to be straight, and then when that happened, she called Ryan Murphy and was like, is my character gonna be with Brittany? Is that a thing?
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, we don't know yet. We'll see like what the fans think.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just kind of ran with it when the fans
and
were
then
like,
I wrote
yes!
Oh my God.
Oh, that's funny.
I mean, I have to say I really enjoyed their relationship because it was two like very female presenting women being
mm-hmm.
together, which was important for me to look at, I think. Because
yeah.
I always felt like I wasn't correct being a bisexual because I was so feminine. So
mm-hmm.
I always felt like I didn't fit it right. So that was really great to see that for me.
And then the other, I can't look
this
up to say
more
this.
More embarrassing.
I know. And then the other two we could think of are a movie called Appropriate Behavior. Don't know if
love
anyone's.
It. Love Appropriate
Behavior.
I can't believe there's another person in the world who saw it.
And I watched her web series before that.
Yes!
Saw,
oh my god.
Yes.
Did you hear that she's making the movie of Adam?
Shut up.
Okay, anyway, we'll talk about that
this
later.
This means nothing to me.
And then the other one is in the musical If Then.
Ah! Oh, yes! I saw If Then.
Thank you.
Also.
Which was the only male bisexual character we could think of.
Yes!
Oh,
shit.
Played by Anthony Rapp.
Darren from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Oh, yes!
Oh, yeah!
How
wait, did
you
talk
about
that?
That's
on
your
LGBT.
The ones
yeah,
they
told you
about.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So,
yeah,
Darren on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Yeah, because most of them are female, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, when we were making this list, we had to work really... We have, like, a whole wall of Post-it notes.
It was,
and
like,
only,
here are all
enormous.
Of the bisexual women we could find, and then here's, like, the three
oh.
men.
It was so
and
sad.
What's interesting is that all the bisexual men I can think of were all, like, fantasy fiction characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Magnus Bane, John Constantine,
yeah.
and, like, so on and so
who's
forth.
Who's that?
Wow.
I'm so
all of y'all are terrible at fantasy.
I'm
gonna throw this out
I
there.
Am.
You
I
have
am.
No
I
magic
am.
In your life. So, John Constantine is, like, this very old-school comic book character who's, like, within, like, the scary, dark, horror, fantasy part of the DC universe. He's like on Batman level, TBH.
Is he like a hero or a villain?
Yeah, well, anti-hero,
oh,
which
wow.
makes him even
I
better.
See.
But yeah, so basically throughout, like, he dates like different people, and in the most recent comic books he was dating, it's shown he has a daughter, he has a black daughter, so evidently like he was with a black woman at some point,
mm-hmm.
and then likewise he was dating a black guy for a couple of issues, and then so on and so forth.
He's
so
hot. Really hot.
You're welcome.
The anti-hero thing, it's like that trope.
And Magnus Bane as well.
But
Magnus
that
Bane's
trope
also
of the villainous bisexual
the
male.
Villainous bisexual male.
The predatory
no,
bisexual
so,
guy.
Like, predatory.
And think about
yeah.
Santana as well, because like Santana and Bob Sunshine.
That's
so
true.
Much.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
everyone's always villainous.
That's
true.
Why I love
I
Darren, because he's like a
so
late in life, like
late in life bisexual,
yeah.
dating the really like nice kind of stupid friend of theirs.
Yeah.
So it's love.
No, but also like Darren's the only instance of a bisexual character who isn't like on some level dark and shady.
Yeah,
so scary.
Huh. I thought it was gay for a long time, and then like in college, I was like, oh, gotcha, bye. when I first started dating women, there was, like, a lot of, like, from very close friends and a lot of people that I had never met before, a lot of, like, really explicit talk to me and to other people about, like, how I was, like, using women and, like, tricking people and, like, it was, like, so unfair of me to, like, be mishandling women in this way and, like, pretending to be straight all the time. Oh. And then there was a lot about her being, like, a fag hag and it's, like, not fair of her to, like, be, like, trying to put me back in the closet and let that, and she's bi too. And like, there was like so much about like how like our treachery is like killing everybody around us. Oh, and it was like so bizarre. But I definitely feel that there's always a lot of like, with both men and women, unless they've dated or been with bi people before, like have had conversations in general, I'll go on early Tinder dates and they hear about it like, oh. And it's like not just like, oh, I think you're just gay or straight. It's like, I feel like I'm being taken advantage of. And I don't know where that comes from other than these this
Do
media.
Do people think you're like being tricky?
Yes. Yeah. People, yes, I get that all the time.
That's so cool.
They think I'm like just experimenting with them or using them, or I'm going to like, I'm just here to have sex with them and throw them aside. And like,
when I go out with women, I make sure that I say that I'm bi really early because I don't want it to feel like I was tricking them if I mention it like the guy I dated.
Always put on Tinder and like, are right at the top because it was just like, I don't want to deal with keep having those conversations with me. I'm like thinking people think I'm tricking
and
people.
This also extends to like other levels because it's like, so I'm a big like do a lot of activism on campus and a lot of like cultural organizations, and I've noticed that all the people who are considered like shadowy, manipulative, evil, whatever, happens to be all the bisexuals of color.
Really?
Yep.
In terms of like people who like, is that separate? Like it's like, oh, like this person did this manipulative thing.
Nope.
Politically or like.
No, nope, it's really just like they just, people know that people are bisexual, and then it's just coincidentally happens to be that we're the ones with the stereotype of being like dark, shadowy, manipulative. Like, yes, I'm a shady person, but like, like.
Well, like it has nothing to do with the fact that I'm bisexual.
No, no, no. But in the sense that it's like people's, like me and the other bisexuals of color, like among like student leadership, we always get like the whole reputation of being like manipulative and sneaky and that we're deceiving everyone with our wildly tactics. And I'm like, and this isn't applied to the gays of color, the lesbians of color, and so on and so forth. It's literally just like only the bisexuals of color that get all this shit.
The other sort of like type of representation we were talking about was something that Anna called implicit representation, which is characters in like movies and TV who have like, for lack of a better word, bisexual tendencies or like have like bisexual actions but never refer to themselves, like never say the word bisexual or queer or anything. The whole first season of Orange is the New Black, the main girl,
Piper.
Thank you. Yikes. Is dating the other one and then also dating
Larry and Alex.
You have posters of the show on your wall.
Whatever. So, Piper is dating the other one, and then she's also married to the man.
Engaged. It's fine.
The first season came out like 4 years ago.
Lauren Peppercorn or Pepron?
What's going on?
Laura Prepon. I know the actor's names. I don't know the character's names.
Jason.
Bateman.
No.
Isn't it
Biggs?
Biggs.
Jason Bateman's Mr. McGorry.
Oh, yes.
Oh, right,
and
right.
So she's, in the first season, Taylor Schilling is dating Laura Prepon, but she's also married to Jason Biggs.
Engaged.
And do you want to take this one?
No, keep going.
Okay.
Okay, I love this.
In the first season, Taylor Schilling is dating Laura Prepon, but she's also engaged to Jason Biggs, like, in the past, but then she's dating Laura Prepon now, and they're all the, like, flashbacks to where she... No, she's married!
No, they are engaged. She goes to jail while they're engaged, and Alex is there, and then she's like, oh, and then they start fucking around, and then it gets broken up.
But isn't there a flashback to her wedding? I remember. No. There's a flashback to Maria Dizzia's wedding.
Yes.
Throughout the whole show, she, like, has this relationship with Jason and this relationship with Laura, who have character names, I'm sure. Anyway, they never say that they're bisexual.
They don't.
I just spiral out really hard. And it's the same with the girl on Transparent, who I referred to as the sister. I wish I had written down her name.
Sarah.
Thank you. This is really bad. It's so hard. The sister who dates the other one and is married to the man.
Do we need to pull up IMDb?
I'll go on IMDb.
Great.
The woman.
She dates the one from The Office, but she's also married to the guy from all those other shows. And they never. They like refer to her as a lesbian when she starts dating the woman, despite the fact that she's been married to Len. Len. She starts dating Tammy, but she was married to Len, and they all call her a lesbian, despite the fact that she was, like, married to a man for a long time, and it completely erases the fact that she, like, had a marriage to a man where they have, like, 100 children.
Yeah. That's, like, a huge trope that, like, once they, like...
It gets erased, yeah.
Yeah, that, like, once you go gay,
you
are
don't
never,
go back!
You are never you're straight or bi to begin with. You've just been gay the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, it can't possibly be both, or, like...
Yeah. Was Tammy her ex also?
Yeah. She had, like, dated... I think she'd maybe been married to Tammy.
Teenagers
or
college or
something.
They
dated when they were younger.
Yeah.
They dated when they were younger.
So that's something that I appreciated about the show is that, like, I mean, you have a show like Glee that is, like, an issue show. Like, they love to, like, dedicate an episode to a topic and
like,
talk about it very explicitly. Yeah. Which I really love the sort of, like, more realistic, naturalistic way that Transparent treats the subject that, like, she dated Tammy. She married a man. She leaves her husband for Tammy again. Like, her sexuality is never the issue. The issue is that she's, like,
awful.
That she's, like, a self-destructive person who's, like, constantly hurting people around her. But, like, it's never, like, oh, she must be going through something because she's confused about her sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people just take it as part for the course that, like...
Which I love. I love when the people are shitty and not the fact that they're, like, bisexual is the shitty part. I love that.
But when have you seen a non-shitty bisexual person on TV?
I don't think I have.
Define shitty.
I mean, Brittany's not shitty. Brittany's a pure soul.
I do love...
She's the butt of a lot of jokes.
She's the butt of a lot of jokes.
That's what I
mean.
And also,
and
she's,
they,
like, so stupid. So, like, how do we, like,
yeah, they frame
know?
Her as, like, she doesn't know better
she's
than
like,
to just,
I,
like...
Yeah.
Fuck
that's
like,
that's also
like,
bad.
Like, she has, like, she can't even tell the difference between people. Like, it's just, like, not...
Yeah, really, like, the only, like, well-rounded bisexual character that I can think of is Magnus Bane, and that's about it.
Damn, we have to get on this.
Y'all
we
love
Shadowhunters.
Another plug, she's gonna have Shadowhunters.
This podcast is sponsored by Shadowhunters.
Can we go watch this on Netflix now?
Sure.
But also, to go back to Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, it's like the main character on it, she's not, Darren is like a lovely character, but also I mean there are elements of like talking about attraction between characters.
Oh, are
like,
you like
I'm even thinking like the first season when she has that sort of like erotically charged song with
about the girlfriend.
Oh yeah,
about, like, not
yeah
not
and how she's like she wants to be her but also she's sort of attracted
yeah.
to her. Like it has elements like that in like Broad City. Like
I was gonna say Alana.
Yeah
why are we talking about Alana?
Yeah. Like, they have that line, I think it's in the second season of Broad City, where the security guard is like, ugh, kids your age, you're all straight and you're all gay. Like, I feel like that's the whole, like, ethos of the show, is that, like,
fuck.
There's no need to define sexuality.
Mm-hmm. And then you have stuff like Legend of Korra, where the whole show, the whole show ended with, like, Korra's bisexual, and then the creators of the show were like, yeah, she's bisexual, but then it was never actually said in the show. And, like, that's kind of, like, the other struggle is that, like, so, in terms of, like, narration theory, like, I do believe in the creators being word of God. So, the creator of the show saying Korra's bisexual is like, okay, cool, Korra's bisexual, end of discussion. But then it's, like, it's still shitty because it's, like, a lot of people who were also, like, aggressively heterosexual, they were complaining that Korra shouldn't have been with, what's her name? Akami?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that.
But basically that, like, oh, like, nothing throughout the show was, like, intimate between them. And then I rewatched the show, and, like, a lot of the interactions between Korra and Akami were literally just me and the guys I was hooking up with in high school, because we were both, like, closeted and, like, not fully
Asami.
Out. Asami, there it is. So that's interesting, because it's, like, just the whole perception of everything is very complicated. And then you also have, like, How to Get Away with Murder.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if she explicitly says she's bisexual, though.
She does.
I know the other woman does.
Yeah.
But
Viola
think,
Davis never is like.
I don't think Viola Davis is
a
bisexual
woman. Yeah.
But also, she's shady as hell.
Yeah.
She's a tricky.
She is
tricky bisexual. I mean, yeah, that affects
me. And she uses it to her advantage.
Yeah, to her advantage
a lot.
Completely.
Oh, and then Hemlock Grove is another show where the two main characters are implied to be bisexual at a certain point.
I've never been heard of.
You wouldn't. It's too scary.
Okay.
It's also interesting to me that
it is a fantasy series.
Yeah, the difference is in
it.
Representation in sort of mainstream entertainment and these more niche entertainment.
Yeah.
Like if we're talking about sci-fi horror, or if we're talking about like art film, like you know, I love Chantal Ackerman is like one of my favorite filmmakers, and she's got one of the more nuanced bodies of work in addressing like the sort of fluidity of women's sexuality. So yeah, I mean, these works of art that are tailored to a smaller audience, I think, can often be more expansive and nuanced in the way that they depict sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're looking at mainstream media, it's often
sort of flattened out.
So in conclusion, if a good bisexual is in mainstream media, it's implicit. If a bad bisexual, i.e. tricky bisexual, is in mainstream media, it's explicit. And if you want a good explicit bisexual, you have to go to the fringe stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds right. Our thesis for this podcast.
I can't even begin to imagine forever with somebody.
Well, surprise, surprise, considering the kind of girls you date. The kind of girls that I date? Hot girls who make you crazy. I like hot girls. And I like hot boys. I like hot people. What can I say? I'm shallow.
So the next thing we want to talk about is celebrities. JB has something to say right off the bat. Go for it, JB.
This is what was in the back of my head earlier when you were like, when did you feel represented? And I was like, I don't know. Okay, it was Andy Mentis, the... Oh, no reactions. We don't know who he is.
Yes,
no,
from
Smash.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Who got hit by the car? Okay,
guy died on Smash.
Yeah.
Play on Smash?
He was the one who got hit by the car.
Jeremy Jordan.
I had a crush on him for so long, and then
Did it go away?
No.
I was gonna
say,
I still have a crush on
him. Oh, no. I'm thoroughly...
Andy, if you're out there, you have two fans.
Oh, Andy, if you're out there, I'm ready. But then after they got married, Andy started becoming, like, much more vocal about, like, Bi Visibility and Bi Awareness Week and, like, making more posts about that. And I don't know what it was about. I had just, like, looked up to him, and I had been a fan of him for so long. And I never really had an experience with a celebrity before that I was, like, so invested, really, or, like, seen by that. I don't know why. But for some reason, like, his posts and his, like, clarity and simplicity and just saying, like, this is real, this is where I'm at. Like, just because I'm married to a man, that doesn't mean anything. Or, like, I mean, it means nothing, but, like...
absolutely not.
I mean, like, like, it doesn't matter, like, who you're married to, who you're dating at the time. Like, you're still bisexual.
Yeah.
He really was a role model for me in how I started to, like, talk about it more and was more vocal about it. And, yeah, and he's beautiful.
There's, like, Angelina Jolie, there's Drew Barrymore, there's Alan Cumming, Anna Paquin.
Uh-huh.
Just, like, a lot. Oddly enough, like, bisexuals are very represented in, like, celebrity world.
Thieves.
Oh!
Yeah,
but,
I was gonna say, I think
wait, but then there's also Marlon Brando.
Yeah.
Oh,
oh wow.
He's on our list. I was like, Marlon Brando, Joe was like, wait.
Yeah.
Oh,
my
gosh.
Oh wait, and there's
Marlon
another
Brando,
one.
Easily biggest crush of all time.
Right. Who was the other one that was like a famous guy from the early
James
20s century? I think he was bisexual as well.
It wasn't Montgomery Clift, or was he just gay?
Who?
Montgomery Clift.
He was gay.
Just gay.
Evan Rachel Wood, right?
Evan Rachel Wood.
I always forget he exists until he, like, gets brought up.
I love him so much.
Brandon, what's his face? He's Uri? Yuri?
The lead singer heading at the disco?
I did not know that he was bisexual. I'm going through a lot.
Oh, really? Oh, my gosh.
No idea.
He's hot as fuck.
Looks like I'm seeing pinky boots.
I feel like you could name almost any woman in Hollywood. Because I feel like it's very...
Price.
It's almost like
it's
a little
trendy.
Trendy
now.
Yeah,
it's
very trendy.
Yeah.
Which is like,
and what's the most trendy is for, like, celebrity women on Twitter to be like, yeah, whatever, you know? Like, for fans to, like, tweet about them and be like, yeah, sure,
like,
you know?
Jonas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wait,
I'm not
saying
that boy.
Rewind.
Sorry?
I'm not saying him.
That is tricky,
like,
bisexuality.
I'm not super straight, and then, like, did a whole bunch of events at gay clubs.
Yeah.
Constantly.
And then for, like, a hot week, gays were like, oh my god, Nick Jonas is
a
weak, like,
indeed.
Gay
it
guy
was a,
and then
no.
He was like,
no,
I would never have sex with a gay guy. I'm just like,
no, it was
and
a marketing.
Was like, what are you doing?
It was
okay, no, Joe
his,
Jonas
like,
is definitely, I'm just, Joe Jonas is bisexual. Like, I'm sorry, I'm waiting for the eventuality that it's released, but like, my, like, literally all the Buhidia powers I have, like, it just tells me Joe Jonas is bisexual, full stop. Like, nothing you tell me will make me believe otherwise.
It also feels to me, though, like, it's so trendy for, like, young female celebrities to be, like, either bisexual or, like, queer or just, like, down.
That
but then, like,
yeah,
for young male celebrities, it's not the same thing.
No,
not
no.
at all.
Because there's stigma for men that there isn't for women.
Yeah, and I don't know why that bugs me so much, but, like, I listen to Cool for the Summer almost every day.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I like this, but, like...
Fantastic song.
But, like, there is something that's, like, so, like... I don't want to, maybe that's extreme to say, like, invalidating or, like, but, like, there's something frustrating about, like, people being, like, girls, like, media being, like, oh, it's okay, I'll kiss a girl, but, like, I'm not bi, but, like, I'm okay with
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, so...
Just girls having fun.
Like,
because then that attitude, like, oh, I'll just kiss a girl for, like, this, that leads to, I feel, like, the stigma for us, especially as, like, them presenting women, that they don't believe us.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
It's that kind of, like, feeds into that.
Though I don't remember where I read this, so just take this with a grain of salt. I read some article the other day that was talking about the trend of people identifying as queer more as a political thing than as like a romantic sexual thing, mm-hmm. just because they feel like heterosexuality is like right wing or like stifling or too conservative, and so like they want to like identify with a more like
what?
Progressive.
So
interesting. It's worse. Okay, so I don't know if y'all remember or if y'all were on Tumblr in like 2014. But 2014 was a bad Tumblr year. There was a lot of 2014 was just like Tumblr wars left and right among all the communities.
No, Tumblr wars in 2014.
So I just remember this one post about, it was just like, this person was like being honest, and the whole blog was dedicated to it, about political queerness. Mm-hmm. So they were straight until they realized, like, they had this realization that they needed to be queer in order to be a leftist. And thus, they just became a political queer. And then that,
what
not sure
that,
that...
What does that mean?
Yeah,
wait,
they
wait,
would literally just
queer
be engaged in relationships with people of the same sex, even though they didn't want to, because it was more politically radical to do
what
so.
What the fuck?
It's really
Jesus
horrifying. Y'all can
Christ.
Google political
that's
queerness,
just
political
so
lesbianism.
Annoying.
That's not fun for anybody involved.
Political
what?
Lesbianism became very popular on Tumblr, and like
yeah.
everything became chaos.
Oh, that God. Is tricky.
There's a long history, I feel like, of political lesbianism too.
Also,
like,
yeah, that's like an old
yeah.
narrative.
Oh my God,
yeah.
so that's,
I mean, like,
that
I can sort of get because of sort of like the power dynamics of male-female relationships.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like 70s like feminists were like, well, we just gotta cut men out totally because that's the only path to liberation. But
getting
and,
gone.
And I've known people. I went out with a woman in college who said that she thinks that she would like ultimately like identify as bi, but like in practice she is gay because like she doesn't like the dynamics of like male female relationships.
Mm.
So I mean, like, you know, if that's your thing, I can respect that. It's the it's
that's
people.
That's a different discourse though.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
people who
well,
like either you know like sort of. Unhappily engage in queer relationships or
because
are,
they want to be radical and I'm
yeah.
like what are you
or just
it.
Have straight relationships but still identify as queer because they want to like
I feel like that's so offensive to the people who like had to work so hard to like claim their actual identity.
Thank you.
Right. Oh God, I hate
do you
that
feel
so
like when
much.
Celebrities come out as bi they're doing just like a version of that
yeah
sometimes,
sometimes. But like I have no really
yeah
it's like, there's
yeah.
like that's
I mean,
like
have,
not really valid
yeah.
to get
yeah I feel
so
guilty
about.
Like having those thoughts because I'm like well I don't know how they feel I don't
yeah.
know like what their experiences are but sometimes it does feel a little bit like people just hopping on the vibe
it's because especially in like in art school like
yeah.
when friends are
mm-hmm.
when you're like they're like when you come out as bi and they're like oh yeah like I don't know like
maybe me too
I never really thought about it but I think I might be and I'm
I think it could happen
and like I don't want to like shut that down it's
right.
not like fair to like be mad
yeah.
about
mm.
but I don't know show me the receipts
to say Manuela Sanz. She's referred to as a liberator of the liberator. So the liberator in question is Simón Bolívar, and Manuela Sanz was his right-hand woman, saved his ass multiple times. So whenever people tried to assassinate Simón Bolívar, they would switch clothes. Simón Bolívar would walk out of the mansion in drag, and like everyone just thought like he was Manuela Sanz, and then vice versa. And then she'd be like, surprise, bitches! They're not, I wouldn't like call them like queer historical Latin American figures, but they're like low-key queer.
Someone call HBO.
If you joined the circus, what would you perform?
Oh, did you read that?
Yes!
So here's my conundrum. I love animals, but I get very sad when I see animals like in performance or in zoos. So I don't think I can do anything with the animals. I got saying like clown things, but I don't think that's a life for me.
Sure.
So I think I'm going to go with trapeze. And I know that takes a lot. I know that's a lot of training. I think I'm up for the challenge, though.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with trapeze artist, if I can find the right partner.
So mine is, who was your first ever celebrity?
Yes, my favorite question.
Oh, God, this is so funny because it's Nick Jonas. And we were just talking about Nick Jonas, and it's Nick Jonas.
You had no idea he was fake gay.
No idea he was fake gay. Like, now I don't give a shit about Nick Jonas.
No,
like,
it's okay to give a shit about Nick Jonas. He's hot.
Okay, we all give a shit about
Instagram.
Nick Jonas.
You were reborn into a different era. Which era would you want to be in? That's kind of complicated, you know, for various reasons. So, okay, so post-Latin American Revolutionary Latin America, or 12th century Spain, when everything was Al-Andalus rather than Spain. I feel like I'd be lit in ancient Egypt. That would be relatively chill.
I would not do well in ancient Egypt.
Too much manual labor.
Favorite breakfast food. Also taffy, because breakfast is my favorite thing ever. I will eat breakfast 3 meals a day. I'm going to roll with French toast, but it's a more complicated answer than that, but I'll spare the details.
Okay.
Ask me in person. My name is JB Douglas at jbdouglas.art.
Wow.
Favorite childhood movie?
Shook.
The Man. Land Before... I do fucking love Shook Man, but The Land Before Time,
oh,
you know, the animated dinosaurs?
Yes.
That shit was awesome.
Oh,
that was cute.
Yeah.
That was cute.
Mine is number one pet peeve in a person you're dating. I think that's not being able to be fully open and vulnerable with them.
Wow, that's a good one.
Thanks, guys. I feel like I can be open and vulnerable with you guys.
You redeemed yourself. Like you again.
First R-rated movie, it was actually Chronicles of Riddick, I remember this. Because I was like 7 years old, so I wasn't allowed to be there. So my parents just like bought the tickets while I was like inside already.
Wow.
And then they just like sneaked me in basically.
What is your fave thing to spend money on? Clothing. Or Chipotle.
Oh,
clothing
spend
or
money
Chipotle.
On question mark. Your answer
spend
is clothing.
Spend money on clothing or Chipotle.
Mine is, who's your favorite fictional character? And I'm really struggling. I'm really drawing a blank here. How about Mr. Megorium?
Love it. Love it.
If you could have sex with any historical figure, who would it be?
Ew.
Oh, it's really hard, but...
Not like they're dead now, like...
No, sure. I mean, like, necrophilia is my thing, but...
Actually,
I think either Chekhov or... But, like, not when he was, like, in this, like, sanatorium, like, coughing up blood. Like,
free
wow.
Sanatorium.
Like, young, young Chekhov.
Strapping.
I also once read about this 16th century Mexican lady pirate, and I think that I would be into that as well.
Pirate Queen.
I was just gonna say, revive the Pirate Queen.
Yeah, there you go.
Who would write the soundtrack for the movie of your life? So Gerard Way, the lead singer of Michael Romance.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay.
I thought you were gonna say Nick Jonas.
Who would play you in the movie of your life? Wait for it. Tyler Oakley.
Oh my God. Yes.
Next.
Who is your celebrity enemy?
You did.
I did.
Oh my God. I've never thought about this, but
who do I
hate?
Who is it, Shelley? Natalie Portman.
What?
Whoa.
There's literally no one I'm more jealous of than Natalie Portman.
Can I say Donald Trump?
Sure.
So that's, I guess, it.
Okay, if you could live anywhere in the world, where would you live? A small village in France, but it would have all the resources of New York. Rolling hills, but also lots of great theater, the Met Opera. That's my ideal.
Just Central Park?
Yes, Central Park.
Okay, so what was your favorite movie of 2016? Okay, so I'm stuck between Deadpool and Moonlight.
Ooh.
Also, like, Deadpool appreciated just as a comic book character, and also, he's, again, bisexual. Or pansexual, actually. And then Moonlight was just, like, an amazing movie, and there's never queer men of color representation.
Mm.
besides Magnus Bane.
If you could have one animal that isn't a pet as a pet, what would it be? Answer, capybaras. Are we familiar?
No.
Yes!
What? They're like,
those
they're
big
the,
guys.
They're the largest rodent in the world, but they look like weird, like,
oh.
bear dog things. And they're just, like, so fucking cute.
That sounds normal.
No, they're
hate,
so adorable.
Are you on any dating apps? If so, what is your bio? I had a Tinder for 24 hours once, and
sure.
my dating bio was,
with Grindr.
Let's go to Chipotle, and I had a rainbow flag after that.
That's
that
nice.
Was it.
Perfect.
Shall I take us home?
What was the last lie you told?
Mine
feel all, like, very profound and, like, probing. Probably, like, oh, I feel fine and confident right now. Probably something along those lines.
Ending on a
well,
yeah,
right
down
now.
There, but now I do feel fine and confident after this.
Gross.
We've done
it.
Oh
discussion.
Tell us where to find you on social media, where to find you on the internet, what you're working on, anything you want people to look at or come to.
I'm Emily. I'm an actress. You can follow what's going on my Instagram, which is Emily Ann Olivera, and then my website, emilyannolivera.com.
Spell your last name.
Oliveira. And Anne has an E in it.
Much like Anne Hathaway.
JB? Yes.
Hey, I'm JB. Follow me on Instagram at jbdouglas.art or .nyc if you're feeling frisky and you want to get personal. Two queer things that you should know about coming up. One is Streep Show at the Connolly. It's playing through the end of June.
Oh,
it's
I
a lot
want to
of,
see that.
It's a lot of men and women in Meryl Streep drag. It is and a lot of Meryl Streep movies, right on brand for this podcast. Two, come see NSA at Dixon Place during Hopfest on July 28th at 7:30. It's a great queer story. Great.
Hi, Juan. My handles are always New York City Libert Valor. So NYC LIB ERTADOR.
And this is Shelly. I'm on Twitter at Esperx Farmer, I believe. And on Instagram at Shelly period B period Farmer. Look up And the Moon, an original queer musical short online. We've got articles in Mike and Stage Buddy. Like us on Facebook because we'll soon be getting back underway in pre-production. And also check out papermagazine.com on July 11th for my interview with Margaret Cho.
Oh.
Whoa.
So okay.
Wow.
Exclusive content.
Yeah.
Love Paper Magazine and love Margaret Cho.
That was so fun.
It was. I'm exhausted.
Yeah, really. Thank you to our four panelists today. Shelley B. Farmer.
Emily Olivera.
JB Douglas.
Juan Calero.
Thank you to them for coming in and being smarter than we are.
Yeah.
If you liked them, let us know, because we're definitely interested in having them back. And if you are one of the panelists and you're listening to this, let us know if you want to come back. Also, if you want to see us in person, Sunday the 25th, we're going to be at the Pride Parade. We'll be there most of the day.
Yeah.
You can come say hello. If you come say hi to us, you might be featured on next Monday's episode, which is going to be Pride-focused.
We'll be Instagramming and Insta-storying
and
all day.
And tweeting. Speaking of Pride, we tweeted this a little bit ago, but if you are a queer person who lives in a non-predominantly queer area, we would love to hear how you celebrate Pride and your stories about Pride to discuss them on the episode next week. So you can email us at onemorethingpodcast@gmail.com with that. Thank you to my mom, who helped us put this episode together a little bit. We called her and said, can you think of any bisexual friends? And she paused and then said, I guess Alan Cumming isn't actually my friend. Thank you to 440 Studios for giving us the space to record this episode. Thank you to Dante Reed for giving us this space. Thank you to Sahar Helmi for giving up her seat at the Public Theater Gala so that we could sit together.
Oh,
we
yeah.
We promised
okay.
we would thank you in
we
the
did.
End of the episode, and here
like,
we are fulfilling that promise.
Thank you to Sarah Kleiss, as always, for giving us this microphone that we've been using that is honestly such a huge help.
Yeah.
Thank you to Stephanie Hawkins for the photos, and thank you to Scott Holmes for the music. This music right now that you're listening to play under me.
Thank you to Ana Verde, our brilliant friend, our amazing producer, who is loudly eating Sun Chips right now.
And if you haven't listened to her introduction episode yet, go back to last week and listen. Catch up.
Thank you to Tostitos. This week we were eating non-organic Tostitos, but we were still eating Tostitos nonetheless.
True. Skinny Pop, Sun Chips, Fake Chex Mix. also sponsors of today's episode.
All the things we were eating. Red grapes we were eating today.
Gatorade.
Cantaloupe. I was drinking a Gatorade. I'm eating a
Clif Bar. This episode was definitely brought to us by red grapes.
What you didn't hear was before the episode, Shelley said that her favorite fruit is red grapes, and then JB revealed that he had brought a big thing of red grapes with him, and we all had sort of like a hooray moment, but we weren't recording, so you had to be there, I guess. It's time for this week's Fan of the Week, which is a thing we started informally last week, and we're going to start formally now. This week's Fan of the Week is Jason Ackerman, Robert's cousin, who live tweeted a bunch of our episodes all this week, and who has really been blowing up Twitter.
He also gave us the idea for the superhero episode.
Thank you, as always, to Price Walden, who is our number one fan and always just really gives the podcast a shout out. Thank you to Rachel Burns and Megan Burnett, who sent me feedback on my Pretty Little Liars stances. And also Rachel Burns, who sent us some really sweet, beautiful feedback about the stories we told in last week's episode.
Yeah, and going off of that, you too, listener, can give us feedback by emailing us at onemorethingpodcast@gmail.com using the number one instead of spelling it out. You can always go follow us on Instagram and Twitter at one more thing, because I was taken.
You can like us on Facebook at One More Thing Podcast.
And above all, I think everyone should really be subscribing to our newsletter on
How
Tiny
can
Letter.
I subscribe to that newsletter, Robert?
Well, okay, so you, while listening to this, you can just like close out of the podcast, open up your browser on your phone, type in tinyletter.com/onemorething.
My mom is calling. Hi, we're recording the end of the episode of the podcast right now.
Hello, my fans.
Anything you want to say about bisexuality to close out this episode?
Many things that are not fit for recording.
Oh.
Damn. Thank you to my mom.
tinyletter.com/onemorething. And then you just like pop in your email, and then we will email you once a week with really fun and interesting stuff.
Yeah. Thank you to everyone who followed along with our Tony Awards Instagram story.
Yeah. Oh my God, that was so much fun. Thank you to Betsy Wolf for wearing the crop top at the Tonys, so we could just experience that again. If anyone wants to watch a live reaction video of us watching the falsettos number at the Tony Awards.
It's a full 4 minutes long.
I have it. Email me with feedback
and
I'll send it to
you. Only one person has seen it and he loved it. So.
Yeah. Email us with feedback and your gift will be I will email you in return the video.
Of us reacting to the falsettos Tony Award performance.
From a terrible angle.
Yeah. Anything else?
No. Do you have anything to say, Anna?
Have a nice life. Goodbye. That was beautiful. You did such a good job.
Oh my God.
We're just sex witches.
We're gonna form a punk band. It'll be called
Sex Witches, guys. Tune out.